Hello everyone and welcome to the Round 16 Roundup stream on the shortened week, of course, with a few teams on the bye in the lead up to State of Origin Game 2, but there was still some footy to dissect. Drew Carla, great hair of mine. I love how the hair comment's coming even before I've showed my hair and my face. I absolutely love it. This is, of course, how we want to be starting every stream from now on. I will, I respect all the great hair comments. I have used shampoo conditioner today because I did go for a swim, so that's my week's worth of hair washing done. The rest is all going to be all natural OG water. Nothing else, because that's the best thing for your hair. And some leave-in conditioner, of course. Hopefully you all can hear me okay. Great to see you all joining me on this Sunday evening. Hello to Joshua, Raymond, Harry Taylor, Micah, Ian, as always, Paycheck, Secret 27, Sunday Night Footy Show or Oman's stream. Look, you can watch my streams on replay, but it's better to watch it live. So I think you should just stick around for me, please. Look, Sunday Night Footy Show, get enough views as it is. Help the small content creators out here and stick by the stream if you do enjoy it. Nate, Dean Perica, Drew Carla, Daniel, Brody, great to see a lot of people in the stream already. So beard trim looking nice. Now we're talking about the beard. Look, I will happily take questions about beard maintenance as well. If you want beard and hair maintenance tips, look, I'm happy to share my routines and you can take it for what you will. But yeah, great to see a lot of people in the stream already. I think it was a pretty decent scoring week, I think, for the majority of players, I'm going to assume, because a lot of the highly owned players scored quite well and a lot of the captain VC choices all went pretty big too. So I'm not really seeing a big spread of points. So just looking at the chat here, I'm seeing like an 1159 from Raymond is a really good score, I think, this week. 1096 from Joshua is also really good. 1041 from Ian, 999 from Micah. That's probably on the downside, but it's not even that low, to be honest. Like, really, I think the spread is, we're talking like 1020 to like 1080 is where I've seen the most of most people's scores anyway. I took an average of the Podmasters and it was 1044. Ivan ended up on 1062, so I think I've had a fairly good week. Hopefully you should see some green arrows, but to be honest, over this next 2 weeks, I don't think I'm going to be expecting much, because next week is going to be, I'm going to be in a world of pain next week. All my starting second or forward out with the bye. Reed Marnie, Harrison Edwards is obviously out as well this week. Shout out to Franklin Pele for outscoring Ruben Garrick. I think a lot of people probably wouldn't have been saying that at the beginning of this week, but here we are. What a crazy game it is. And I think apart from that, a few poor scores from like the Billy Smith and Ruben Garrick, but they're offset by some good scores from, you know, so I ended up vice-captaining Gutho in the very end. I posted on Twitter with a poll, and I saw Gutho was quite low. He was third behind Manu and Ponga. But I think it was on the Friday stream when I was just, someone asked and I was speaking it out about, you know, like his goal kicking. I didn't mention it, but, you know, former club as well. And I just thought he's that type of energizer bunny type player who just will be all across the field. So I got to like 3:15, 3:30, and I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. I can't really call the Roosters Newcastle game where I thought Eels would be pretty good against Manly. So I ended up just going Gutho. And I mean, not a massive difference, talking 15 points extra over Manu and about what, 30-something on Ponga, but look, happy at the moment. He's outscoring Nico Hines, who went 129. Just knowing Nico the Unicorn, he probably will update and outscore Gutherson, but I'm happy. I took the loophole as well, so I just took the 132 points. I thought, like Hines, to be honest, I don't think he played that well, if I'm being honest, but just he accumulates points all the time. So a lot of his points from goal kicks, same as Gutho. But yeah, happy enough with the week of 1062. It was definitely the round for people who hadn't ever scored their first tries to score their first tries. I can see Micah, love heart eyes emojis for Alex Twal. What a moment. I think the entire rugby league community was happy when Alex Twal scored. And obviously Vossi was calling the game on Fox, and he actually tweeted earlier that day that he was tipping Twal to score. So he's kind of predicted the future there in some ways. But yeah, I think that was a pretty epic moment, seeing Twal score his first try. But I think today from the Sharks, I think there was a couple of first-time try scorers as well from like Hazelton. I think it might have been Jack Williams as well. There's a few other players I can't remember off the top of my head. I think maybe one of the Bulldogs players as well. But yeah, lots of players scoring for their first time. So now the torch passes on to Patrick Carrigan, who's played the most rugby league games without a try so far. 74 games for Patrick. So I'm not sure he has to wait that long as Twal, but he's a gun player. I'm sure he'll score sometime soon. Let's just check back in with the chat as well. So yeah, 1084 from James, 1013, 1066, 12-10 from George is a really, really big score. I wonder how, who else. Let me know in the chat, George, who you had to get to 12-10, because I think really outside of the core group of players, like let's say we're talking about the Pongers, the Hines, the Guthersons, the Manus, Hopgood was good. I think Will Warbrick, anyone who held on to him probably did very well this week, because you've got, you know, four tries, 138 points. Of course, he doesn't now when everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people have sold him since we all had him at the beginning of the season. So I'm guessing maybe you had someone like a Warbrick or maybe like a Jerome Hughes. Outside of that, I can't think of a lot of others. Dane Gagai was a good trade-in for people as well. He went up on, I think, about 80 points, I want to say, after updates. So again, just continues to kill it. Yeah, Manu, it's always nice when your analysis gets vindicated and gets supported. You know, like I know Manu's not been good this season, but I think that was beginning of the week. People were on Twitter saying like, who should I sell Manu for? I was like, please do not sell Manu this week. Do not sell Manu this week. At fullback, he's just a different gravy. And he scored that try, but even without that, like we're talking heaps and heaps of points in base power. So Manu at fullback doing his normal stuff, like look at all those offloads, all those tackle busts, all those runs. Like, he got 45 points in just runs. Like, that's insane, right? Plus all the tackle busts and everything. Like, yeah, Manu at fullback is just a bit of a machine. Saw someone that got a 1473. Mate, Copper, if you can find their team, let us know who they have, because that's insane. 1473, I don't know how they would have... Because, like, there wasn't... I mean, the player pool is quite small this week as well. They must have owned, like, a Dearden and like a Warbrick and a Hughes and Hines, and they must have got every single person who went like 90 plus this week. Go the Brick, yep, as you say, George, yeah, Warbrick's the one who got you over. 1473, I don't know about that, unless they're fudging their numbers somehow. I can't see how someone got 1473 this week. Let's see, Wishart first try. What is par from Toby? Ranked 5,000 and scored 975. Ranked 5,000. Unfortunately, I think you'll either get small red or small green. I think you're moving. I don't think you're going to be moving that much, but I do. I have a feeling you'll be getting red arrows because your rank's not too bad, Toby, at 5,000. But again, just looking at a lot of the points that I'm seeing, it was a very small player pool and those small core group of players went quite well. So I think the spread of points seems very low. I think the reason I've managed to maybe go a little bit above, let's say just above average, was Reid Marnie in the end getting that try assist, line break assist, and that forced dropout. He ended up on 67. So, you know, in the hooker's position, a lot of people wouldn't have had anyone. I managed to get some points out of him. Nick Carell was a good trade in for, I got him last week. But he obviously scored a try again today, so that was good. I'm just trying to think who else in my team. It was probably the VC Gutherson, because I think Manu was the more popular VC, and I think a lot of people would have taken his. So that's literally probably the 15-20 points that I've got over above maybe say the average. Toby, if you can see my pinned message, I pinned a message to the top of the live chat. So I've added a comment because I expect all the par comments to be coming in on the wrap up streams now. I just added in the pinned message what I think par is, which is I think it's maybe like a 10-20. So I think if you've gotten above 1,000, you should be fine. I think if you've gotten about that 10-20, 10-30 plus, I think you should be fine for this week. Like, I'd be shocked if you got red arrows if you were getting like a 10-20, 10-30. But yeah, for me, all my attention, I'm happy I had a decent week, but all my attention is now on round 17 and what I'm going to do, because that is going to be a tough, tough week. Very difficult week, I think, at least for me. I think I'm really expecting big red arrows next week for sure. So that's why I'm probably not too happy. And if I would have been very unhappy if I had a bad week this week, because that would have meant I think the next 2 weeks I would have been really burnt. Micah says, ranked 229. Do you reckon I'll see you down 500 places with a score of 1,002? I think given your rank, Micah, you know, you're pretty high up. I think a lot of people in your place would have planned quite well for the buys. I think that's 1,002 feels a little bit on the slightly lower side. So yeah, I'd probably say that's going to be green arrows, red arrows, I should say. In terms of how much, though, it's a bit hard to say, but like whether it's 500 places, I'm not sure. If I had to guess, I think you'd still be in the top 1,000. But yeah, I think I would suspect that you're probably going down a little bit. Next week, I'm trading Garrick to Ponga and maybe Buller to Turbo. Should I do it? Yeah, so we'll talk about Buller. for sure in the stream, because I think, you know, a lot of people will look at him now saying he scored only 43 and he has the bye. Is he someone that you can flip to maybe like a Turbo or a Monster via duels and whatnot? So I think we'll definitely get onto that too. Maybe just before I get into, because there's probably not a whole heap out of the specific games to touch on, so I might just start off talking about what I'm thinking for my team and whatnot. So for me, with my trade, so I did Fifita out for Ponga. So that worked out well. I'm happy with the Ponga trade, and he did very well with 95 points. And I did Moses to Hines. Obviously, slight regrets in getting Moses last week, but just took the opportunity to get Nico this week. And obviously, he's come in with 129. So next week, like, I'm really short next week. Like, I'm losing Buller, Nico, Preston, Nicara, Bateman, Edwards, and Reid Marnie. So I'm missing like a lot of players straight away next week, and I have a Jack Howth who's a nuffy, and I've got Matt Dury who's basically enough at this stage as well. So for me, the trades that I did had 400k, but to be honest, my moves next week probably won't even get me more numbers, because my initial plan is to go Isaiah Katoa to SJ. I purposely didn't do any other trades to make sure I had that money, because obviously neither are changing in price this week, given that they're both on the buy. With Katoa at 301k, SJ is about 705, and SJ has the Dragons next week. I think it's a good matchup, so that's my initial plan, at least for one trade, just to get SJ, because I think Isaiah Katoa, I think it's time to just upgrade him as well. And in terms of other trades, so there was a question about Harrison Edwards from Duncan. Love your username. I'm just for the sake of YouTube and the algorithm, I'll just refer to your username. I'll just call you Duncan, but I like your full username, put it that way. It definitely is up my alley of childish humor. for me, I think Harrison Edwards, I think he suffered concussion at training, but I think NRL Physio tweeted that out, but he said that he should be expecting him to be back in round 18. Although, yeah, because round 17, of course, is the bye for the Bulldogs. So, you know, another week off, I think Harrison Edwards should be back in round 18. So for me, like, I decided to keep him because I was like, the options at front row forward were just so grim this week. And also, I didn't have any duels to change him into anyone else. So I've just kept him because I figured he's not going to change in price, at least. And maybe round 18, I might flip him. But next week, I think Isaiah Katoa to SJ probably for me is almost a cert to happen. The only downside of that is that I'm not really left with a lot of money to play with. So initially, I was thinking, you know, Buller will go up a little bit more in price. He'll be above 700k. Like, next week, with Ponga now in the team, I can go Buller to Munster in a straight swap. And I can have Munster for 17, 18. The issue, though, is that Buller will play around 19 as well. And the thing with Buller is that, look, he scored 43 points in a pretty poor Tigers attack as well. Obviously, the Storm were quite good. But really, the Tigers attack wasn't that great. Still managed 43, which is, I think, pretty much the lowest that you would get out of him, just due to his base. I think he ran for like 200 plus meters, again, had like 5 tackle busts. So he's a busy player. So I think you're never going to get truly bad scores out of him. So it's tough because he actually has a decent draw as well. So misses next week, but then it's the Cowboys, Sharks. You know, Sharks at, you know, where's that? It's at Combank. So look, Sharks sometimes can be leaky, but again, I'd probably view that as a tough game. Knights in round 20 is away, then Dragons in round 21. After that, it probably gets a little bit tougher, I'd say, but it's not a bad run. But to be honest, looking at that, I think you feel okay for round 19 numbers. Like, maybe there is a world where you do go Buller to like a Turbo. I think that's probably the fullback move that a lot of people would be doing if they wanted to jump off early, because I think Turbo will have a negative break even coming into round 17. Now, obviously, there's a lot to unfold until round 17. We have State of Origin. Turbo's 763k with a negative 41 break even. So if you want to get him, this might be the week if you wanted to get him before his price goes up massively. But it is a game that's Melbourne away, so it's a tough matchup. Sydney Roosters in round 18 could be great. I'll quickly check in terms of the when the games are played for Turbo, just to see whether he backs up or not, because from memory, I think Manly have like a 2-day turnaround after game 2 into game 3, which obviously means Turbo is somewhat more likely for a rest. It didn't matter so much in round 14 because they had the bye in round 14 anyway. So, yep, just looking at game 2, Manly play on the Saturday. So they'll have Thursday, Friday off, so it's only a 2-day turnaround. And then game 3, is also a two-day turnaround. So there's every chance that he doesn't back up in either one of those two games. I'd say the Melbourne game more likely to, just because it's a tougher matchup against, say, the Cowboys at home. But yeah, there's a world that, you know, if Turbo's not playing this week, then who are you really moving Buller to? Now, Munster is someone who I thought about because I think Munster just continues to keep backing up. I think he's just that type of player. So for me, if I was to trade Buller out of those two, given Munster's like 666K, I'd probably go Buller to Munster instead. But I haven't fully confirmed that I'll be moving Buller out next week, because I'll just need to take a look at my round 19 numbers. And I think there's definitely a world where Buller will be someone that you might want in round 19 as well. So I think it's probably just going to be worth, when you get out of lockout, just to see how your team's already shaping up for round 19 and whether you can afford to, say, go Buller to another gun who's going to miss, you know, say, like an Origin player. Like William, I can see your trades. Azeka told to SJ, Buller to Turbo. It's kind of similar to what I'm thinking. Like, I'm looking at my round 19. I'll probably not trade Reed Marnie or Harrison Edwards, because, like, for me, if after I do Azeka told to SJ, I'm going to have no money, and, like, really, I can't really upgrade Reed Marnie. I'd have to go down to someone like maybe Brendan Hands, to be fair. Just quickly on the Parramatta game, he scored like 62 points. He updated up like 30 points. He played the full 80. I know a lot of people were talking about him before the week. I still said Simpkin because I just figured we just didn't know anything about Hodgson's injury. And Brendan Hands did get a try assist, line break assist, which did boost his score up a little bit. So I think if you take out all attacking stats, him and Simpkin pretty much scored the same. I think Simpkin ended up on 43. But maybe a downgrade is what I will do there. And maybe I just decide that, look, I just move Damien Cook back to Grant and then just run with the one hooker for the rest of the season, which I'm not against, because, you know, I don't have to necessarily run with two hookers. I think I mentioned it on Friday stream. Two fullbacks, two 5/8s, two halfbacks, and then a second or forward or a center wing could easily be your four reserves. So maybe that's an option for future to create funds. Maybe Reed Marnie out to a Simpkin or a Brendan Hands, but yeah, that's probably not something I'll do in round 18. It could just be the one trade for me next week, of ICAT to SJ. And just look at my numbers, so not counting Damien Cook, but we'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Not sure if I count Matt Dury, so we'll stick with 7. Assume SJ there, 8, Cody 9, Psycho 10, Johnson 11, Gutho 12. So if I were to trade out Buller for a non-19 player, I'd be short. I'd be on 12. At the moment, I'm on about, was it 13, I think. So at the moment, I'm okay. So maybe there is a world where I don't trade Buller for sure, and I might just keep him until round 19. And then after that, we'll look to upgrade him. Okay, sorry, I was going a bit on a rant there, but let's have a look at some of your questions as well. Can't believe Hines got that first try contribution. What was the first try that they scored? Was it, oh, right, that's of course when he picked up the grubber from Flanagan and ran down the whole field. I think they gave it to him because, like, even though there was a fair few amount of passes after that run until someone scored, I think he probably just got it because he created that whole thing by running down the whole field. But look, it's Nico Hines, he's a unicorn, he'll get these unicorn points. I'm fully expecting Hines to go up by like 15 points. Just mentally prepare for Hines to unicorn up, and the pain will be less when it happens. Don't ask me why it will happen, it just will happen because that's just what happens. Tom J ranked 1900 with a score of 742. Ooh, only had 10 players. Yeah, that's the thing. So your 10 players, average of 74, it's actually not bad, but you only had 10. Yeah, that's a tough week. Yeah, there'll be some red arrows, unfortunately. At 1900, you could be down to maybe like 5,000 maybe, but it's always hard to guess. I'm 570 overall and got a 1042. Do I think I'll move up from Troy? For Troy, to be honest, that's a tough one. I think you've kind of hit about the par, and I think I would probably say your movement, the way I think about it is you'll still be between the 500 to 600, because I think a lot of players around you probably would have got similar. So I don't think you'll be moving up a lot. But I would guess small green, but not a lot. It's always so hard to tell, right? Because you just don't know how other people have scored. Like, for what it's worth, of the Podmasters, 1044 is the average. And a lot of those guys are in the top 1,000 already, or are kind of around the top. They're like, they're all saying the top 1-2%. So, and their average is 1044. So you've hit about the average. So that's why I think you probably won't be moving a whole heap. Thoughts on selling Bullitt in round 19 to Dylan Edwards? I mean, Penrith don't play round 19 bye week, so I wouldn't be selling Bullitt in that week if you're an overall player. Love the hair of Martin Megalodon. You reckon too early to get Haas back next week? Not really, to be honest. I don't think it's too early because I know, you know, he's obviously still playing Origin, but he's got a three-day turnaround against the Titans in game two. After game three, it's a two-day turnaround, and it's against the Bulldogs. So, sorry, Bulldogs fans, but I think Brisbane's B forward pack probably still is better than the Bulldogs' A forward pack. So there's a chance that maybe he misses round 19. So you could still get 17 and 18 out of him. And they're good matchups, Titans and Dolphins. He can probably get some attacking stats. Especially, I think he's at a good price as well. I think he's about 690K. So he's not too expensive. So I think for your money and trades, to be honest, I don't mind going someone like Haas early because he's more likely to back up, in my opinion, than a lot of other guys. Did I lose to Whisperer? I did. Yeah, he scored 1095. He had an extra player than me. He had Mulatalo, but I had no one else to counter him, really. And he had Hopgood as well, so he had a good week. So yeah, I lost to him, but it's fine. He was actually one of the highest scorers in the Podmaster. To be honest, my score was like top 6 or 7. Unfortunately, I just matched up against him in the head-to-head this week. Any Titans you'd be targeting to bring in for next round and moving forward? PS, hair's looking good. You guys are too much. Only the true fans will know what the all the hair references are. I can't wait until someone new jumps in. First time they're watching the stream and they're like, what's with all the hair comments? This guy's hair's not that good. Oh, you will learn soon enough. Yeah, look, Titans players, I mean, I like Brimson as potentially a pod. I'm assuming if he plays 18th man again for Queensland, he'll be out in round 19. But I think he's someone that you could definitely look at. I think Tino probably is the number one option. Like, again, I view him similar to Payne Haas. I think if you wanted to bring him in early before the whole Origin period had finished, he's a machine, him and Haas. I think he's someone that you could still look to get. So I think Brimson and Tino kind of stand out of their team. Obviously, Fifita will be someone we'll all want back. But I think if you've sold it till this point, given the way that his break-even is really high, I think he's not someone you're going to be trading in. I think during this whole Origin period, I think he's someone that you're going to target afterwards. But I think during someone like Tino or maybe a Brimson, maybe a pod in the backs, the problem with the outside backs of the Titans is it's like they have one loss and then someone from their back line gets dropped. Campero got dropped randomly, Brian Kelly got dropped randomly, Jojo Fifita got dropped randomly. Like, it's too hard to pick, I think. So not a whole heap of options, I think. Just since I've got the Sharks and Bulldogs game open, not really too much more to touch on. I think Bulldogs, yeah, look, very disappointing performance from them today, right? Like, the middle defense was just so, so bad. Like, I know the Sharks have got good middle forwards, but they shouldn't, like, the Bulldogs shouldn't be letting them through that easily. So yeah, look, Bulldogs, I think, are still, just from the Supercoach point of view, definitely still a team to target. It's kind of one of the reasons why I was happy to go Ponga this week. Look, I'm happy Ponga went 95. Next week's tough, it's Penrith. But round 18, Ponga will play fullback against the Dogs, and I really like that matchup. So I'm really happy with Ponga for that week. And yeah, Bulldogs just seem to be conceding still lots and lots of points. There's no one really I'd be looking to buy outright from the Dogs. I mean, Karaz is maybe someone, but only the 25. Look, I think when the Bulldogs are playing this way, like, he's not going to get a lot of those attacking opportunities. So I think for me, he's probably still someone I'm happy to avoid. And I mean, outside of that, it's probably more like Preston, I think, for me, is still someone that, you know, he's on the bye next week. I think he's shown enough, though, that you can keep him. Like, I think he can be, like, probably not in your top three second row forward, but he can be like a fourth or fifth. So he's probably someone who I won't be looking to sell next week, because there's also not a lot of other great second row forwards to target next week anyway. You know, Nicker is on the bye, Bateman's on the bye. Maybe if you wanted to upgrade to a Tino, I think if you're upgrading to, like, who I view as maybe a top two or three second row forward, it's probably the only situation I'd say selling someone like a Preston is maybe okay, because I still think he's a very busy player, like 46 in a really badly beaten team. He's got that attacking upside. He scored like, what, 90 odd last week. I think if you're only selling for like a Tino or like a maybe a Payne Haas at a stretch as well, like via duels, it's probably the only situation I can think where it's probably okay to sell him. Otherwise, I think he's probably a keep for me. He's someone who I'm maybe thinking of using as my upgrade back to Fifita down the track. Reed Miney, look, he had a good game today, but not from a NRL point of view. He was pretty poor. I think he missed a bunch of tackles. I'm going to just see how Supercoach has scored him for missed tackles. Yeah, 7 missed tackles. Not great. He was slipping off a lot of tackles. And he got lucky with the, not lucky I should say, but he got bailed out in terms of his score with the line break assist try assist, and he also got a forced dropout at the end. Hines just doing Hines thing. Brayley had a good game, but he's not, I mean, the problem with the Sharks players is that they're all in the bye next week, so you're not really looking to buy any. There was one question earlier from someone, sorry I can't get your name, but you said, is Sione Katoa a sell? Now Katoa has been very, very low scoring the last few weeks. Like Mulatalo still seems to be just getting all the stats, like 488k from Katoa. He will lose more money as well this week. Oh, it's a tough one, because I would say he's going to be like, what, 450k? So he's going to be like at a really low value. You're going to have to be using like 200k to get up to a good genuine center wing, like a, like say an Asako or a AJ or Campbell Graham. I'm just thinking of names out loud. You're going to be using a lot of money, I think, at that price tag where it's not a lot of value. And that draw, like round 18 against the Dragons, 19 Tigers, you know, at least the next couple of weeks, sure, you know, New Zealand, Manly, Panthers isn't great, but look, they don't have any more buys for the rest of the season. I still think I would hold Katoa, because you just know that he especially at 450k, he just needs one game where he scores a try, line break, gets 70 points, and then he's going to start making money again. And I think you can just kind of tuck him away in your center wing, ideally. So yeah, to be honest, if I owned Katoa, I probably wouldn't be selling, just because of the value he'll be at. Plus, I think Dragons and Tigers in the next two covers around 19, of course, as well. So yeah, I think he's probably still someone I would look to hold if you do own him. Kennedy wasn't involved much, yeah. He did have that one try assist, but really apart from that, not much. It was a bit of a weird game. Like, the so much damage was done through the middle. It didn't really require the Sharkies to go down the edge for those kind of sweeping plays. Like, they just needed to go to their middles and, like, an edge back rower. And even to just the center a lot. Like, Raymond's got a try. Talakai dropped the ball right in front of the open try line. So I think, yeah, Kennedy just hasn't been too involved. I mean, you end up on 52, but yeah, when you're comparing him to like a, I think Dylan Edwards had like 70 plus, Gutherson obviously had a huge game as well this week. So yeah, definitely pales in comparison to those guys. Do I watch the F1? I don't. I have a lot of friends watch F1. I did start watching Drive to Survive because I thought that's maybe the best way for me to get into it, but I already watch a lot of other sport. It's very hard sometimes to try to fit in all the sports. So yeah, F1, I'm not like a hater of F1. I just don't have time really to watch. For me, it's obviously NRL is a big one, cricket is a big one, and whenever the Premier League's on, I love the Premier League too. Those three sports kind of are like my they take up most of my viewing time. Really apart from that, I don't think there's too much more to touch on from this game. Like, it's pretty weak from the Bulldogs overall. Seeing a comment about Jake Granville, he loses points. Yeah, look, I have actually, like, so I've versed the Whisperer this week, and he owns Jake Granville, and we were messaging saying Granville's got him 65 points in the bye, and of course it's in the week that I versed him in the Podmasters Cup. But I don't know where he lost all his points, because he didn't get any attacking stats, did he? So he must have just got docked for, like, tackled or something. 52 tackles with 12 missed. Maybe it was the missed tackles, I don't know, but I wasn't paying too much attention to Granville and his stats, so I can't remember what he had before that got him to 65. But yeah, look, 40 points from Granville is better than a lot of other cheap hookers that are in the game at the moment, like Sonny Luke, etc. Sunia Taruva, very happy with Taruva. I mean, my God, Tyrone Peachy is the biggest ball hog. Just pass it to Taruva wide open for an easy try, and you know what? On a points basis, they win the game based on that, probably. But anyway, I'm not bitter, I'm not salty, but Taruva should have got more than 64 points, because Tyrone Peachy is a ball hog. But yeah, look, 64 without any major attacking stats. He had about 13 tackle busts. Very happy with Taruva. The Panthers still have a couple of nice games as well before they have a bye in round 19. But I mean, with Taruva, really my center wing is pretty, I think my center wing is in pretty good shape. So I'll quickly show you what my center wing looks like. So Garrick, like, for me, Asako, Marzu, Garrick, those three are probably locked in for the season. AJ, for the next few weeks, definitely locked in, because Rabbitohs have a good draw. For the run home, I might sell AJ just because they've got a few buys, the Rabbitohs, so I might upgrade him to like a Mulatalo. But Manu, if he needs to stay there as a fifth centre wing, it is fine. You know, it unfortunately looks like Sam Walker's had another setback with his injury, so it looks like Manu's going to continue to play 5-8, which is not great for the Roosters, but it's good for Supercoach. Taruva, a left winger for the Panthers, is handy. Billy Smith, I probably will try to upgrade for sure. But really, I think the only kind of key centre wings that I'm missing is probably a Mulatalo and maybe like a Nick Meaney. Apart from that, I don't really think I'm missing much in the centre wing. So if I, but like playing Taruva each week is fine. Like he's got good base stats and everything. So I'm with Taruva, I'm not really actively looking at upgrading him anytime soon because I think I'm happy enough with him at this stage. For me, I think where I do want to just prioritize fixing up my team will be eventually, well, SJ next week and eventually getting back to Cleary, I think. Probably trying to get like a Turbo in the fullback spot. I mean, I have no reason at this point in time to sell Gutherson. He has been a really good trade in for me since I got him a fair few weeks ago. He had one down week where he scored 25, but apart from that, he scored like an 80. Now he's got back-to-back tons, so he's been really good for me as well. So I'm happy with him for the kind of during this whole buy period. And look, if in round 19 Moses is again playing Origin, it's another week where Gutherson will be goal-kicking, which added about 20 points to his score this week, which is really handy. And in round 19, he plays the Warriors, which is, look, it's a tough game because the Warriors are pretty much unaffected by Origin. But look, Dolphins are round 17, so I think that's another good matchup as well. So, and then Titans round 20. Like, to be honest, I may just hold Gutherson until round 21. And at that point, maybe I flip to, like, a Latrell. But for the next few weeks, Gutherson, I think, for sure is a keep for me. Probably trying to get someone like a Munster. I have no Melbourne Storm players, which, you know, if there's an upturn in form, I definitely want to get more of them. So probably like Harry Grant, I think, is one, Munster. And look, Tohu Harris and Tarpany are not bad starting front row forwards, but I do feel like I need to maybe try to get one of Payne Haas or Tino in there. And I mean, I might do that by upgrading Edwards to them, but I don't want to keep too much money in my front row forward as well. And Fifita, of course, definitely need to get Fifita back. So there's probably about three or four guys who I'm really wanting to get back soon. I've got 16 trades, so I think hopefully I should be able to get there. We'll need to start getting rid of some of this deadwood though. Like Schuster, I think his time is coming to an end very soon as well in our teams, especially when Manly are not with their Origin players. I mean, he somehow managed to get 44 points this week. But yeah, so I think there's still a few things in the team I need to fix up, but I think we should still be looking okay. What centre wing to look at? So for round 17, I mean, someone asked earlier about Philip Sammy, as if you are looking for a Titans player. I mean, Sammy's decent in that he's got that tackle bust ability. Like his base average is 28. I'm just looking at here. I mean, he's got a season average of 59, which is nothing to sneeze at. He is 595K, so he's a bit more expensive. I mean, solid scores. He's got one ton this year, but, you know, he's more of the solid type, like 50, 52, 69, 63, 52, 74, 45, 85. Like, apart from this one game in round three where he scored 10, he's more kind of getting a floor of 50, which is actually quite good. The only issue is that he scored a lot of tries. I'm just actually looking at it now. Like, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tries since round 6. So it's about 6 tries in what? Quick math. Say 7 games, because he's had a couple of buys in there. So he has scored a lot of tries. I don't know. I know the Titans are an attacking team, and he's been solid, but I don't know. Just talking about Sione Katoa, I feel like I'd rather take a pot on Sione Katoa potentially. You know, 450K, and you're getting him for way, way cheaper. And, we know the Sharks can put on points as well. Could you go Bullet to Turbo next week? Ian, yeah, for sure you could. You definitely could next week. But, there's definitely, I think it comes down to how you set up for round 19. Because I think if you're fine for round 19, then you can go early and lock in a keeper like Turbo, who, look, he has Melbourne next week, which is tough, but we know Turbo's probably someone you will likely want, I think, for the run home. We saw just last week against the Dolphins when Manly are clicking, one of the best attacking teams in the comp. Cowboys players, I mean, maybe Val Holmes might try to get Val back. Tom Dearden with a big ton this week. I mean, Drinkwater, to be fair, just keeps getting it done. 95 points, scored the winning try. I mean, he's been just like super, super consistent. Like, I mean, he's definitely someone who I think I've just overlooked, because I think the beginning of the season has just kind of stuck in my head where he went really bad. he had that 1 point game, and then but since then, like, he's got a season average of 71, due to be higher after this 95, and he had a 1 point game in there included. If you take out that 1 point game, I'm sure his average increases dramatically as well. So yeah, Drinkwater just like has been killing it. And the Cowboys don't play round 19. That's probably the only reason why I think a lot of people haven't considered him. Run home is not fantastic for the Cowboys, like Manly, Para, Broncos, Sharks, Panthers. They're pretty tough. There's some tough games in there, but it just seems to be that Drinkwater, irrespective of the tough matchup like Panthers this week, he seems to dominate a lot of the attacking stats. So he's kind of that player who seems to be like, if the Cowboys score two tries, he's probably likely to get at least one try assist and get you like a 50-60, but we know he can get multiple attacking stats. So yeah, Drinkwater had a good game. Tamalolo I thought was quite good as well in patches. Obviously Penrith very undermanned this week. No Cleary, Luai, you know, To'o, Crichton, etc. But a pretty good gutsy performance from them. Dylan Edwards, yeah, ended up on 77. But yeah, anyway, good, really, it was actually a very good game. I thought this game was going to be the worst game of the week in terms of just quality, because I thought both teams were missing quite a few Origin players. Actually turned out to be quite an entertaining game. Thoughts on Fifita's minutes in the upcoming weeks? Yeah, on Fifita, it's going to be tough to say. Like, he's got the 3-day turnaround in game after game two, and two-day turnaround after game three. I mean, round 18, he'll play, I assume, the full 80. Round 17, though, it's very hard to say. Like, I think that kind of question is probably better served if we see how Wednesday goes, because obviously last time round he got less minutes because he had delayed concussion symptoms. He did go off for a HIA in Origin. I would guess that if that hadn't happened and he came through okay, he probably would have played more minutes than what he had done. But I would still think that even in those backing up weeks, if he does back up, he'll probably play 55 to 60 minutes is what I would think. But it's very hard to tell. Like, just looking at it here, so obviously, you know, Fifita will play this coming Wednesday on the 21st. Then he has his round 17 games 3 days back, 3 days back up on the 25th. And then the round 18 game is on the Saturday. So if he were to play all three of those, it would be three games in 10 days. So that is asking for a lot. So maybe they play him for very low minutes around 17 and then just get him to play the Saturday. The issue also was last time out was that the Titans were playing on the Thursday. So Fifita was going to be asked to play Wednesday, Sunday, Thursday, whereas this is Wednesday. Sorry, not that. Yeah, this is Wednesday, Sunday, Saturday. So he's got a longer turnaround between round 17 and 18. So I think there's a better chance of good, you know, probably better minutes than what we saw last time out. Can't see Turbo backing up on the Saturday down in Melbourne after Origin. I think it depends a lot on the result of the game as well. Like, if the Blues lose, you know, Turbo has a poor game, he's probably going to want to bounce back, and effectively series is over. So he's like, all right, time to concentrate on my club. Obviously, that Manly still need to win games, and it's a tough game against Melbourne, so there is a chance that he backs up. Manly do play on the Friday in round 18, so it's a little bit earlier. So, but anyway, I think I'm going to have to rethink all of this probably on Thursday after we see the State of Origin game. I think on the Knights Roosters game, to be honest, I was not able to watch this game in full. I've only been able to watch actually half of the KO mini, so I need to probably watch that when I have dinner later. But yeah, happy with Manu and Ponga's scores. Dan Gagai just continues to kill it. Maybe a pod option in a Dan Tupo. I know Supercoach Brain on Twitter, if you don't follow him, definitely give him a follow. He was shouting out Tupo as a bit of a pod. He actually came out with a good score this week. Billy Smith, I mean, Billy Smith just needs to go, I think, but he probably will stick around for one more week for me, round 17, because I need all hands on deck round 17. So he's probably going to be staying and playing for me next week, but he's also in that category of, you know, Roosters don't cover round 19, so he's played round 16 for you. You can move him on, because I just don't think he's worth having to hold much longer. Like, to be honest, now that we've talked about Sione Katoa, he will lose a bit of cash. Well, he'll probably go down to 350, but you could go Billy Smith to Sione Katoa for like 100k. It's not, I don't mind a trade like that on your Roosters players. Carl Oluapa was a bust. I should have listened to mine. I will next time. Yeah, look, that's okay. Look, I'm not going to stand here and say, oh, you should have listened to me, blah, blah, blah. Just just with all, like, especially when Oluwapu is, he doesn't even have the dual, so like as a real cheapie, he doesn't even have that flexibility, and he takes up a 5-8 spot, which is a really high scoring position. So it's why a lot of people at the beginning were hesitant with Buller, because he was a cheapie at fullback, which is normally a high scoring position where you want two guns. It just so turned out that Jareem Buller is a gun as well at the same time. Taj says, scored 1,009, ranked 277. Where do you think I'll be? Given that Podmaster's average was 1044 and a lot of those guys are in the top 1,000, I think your score is slightly under, I think, what people in your rank would get, would be getting, Taj. So I think I'd probably say you're going to get a small red arrow if I had to guess, but I don't think that bad. Like, I would guess maybe top 400 still. Yeah, on the Eels, I mean, a pretty good performance overall by them. Really good first half from Gutho, 84, ended up on 132. Hopgood with the try. Hopgood had another really good game. I think he played close to 80 minutes. I don't remember seeing Hopgood come off for a rest, actually. 67 minutes, so he came off at some stage, but I missed it. But yeah, still playing big minutes. I think he's someone who I don't own, so I know a lot of people owned, and he was someone I was hoping scored poor this week, but wasn't to be. I think with Madison coming back, and Sean Lane was on the extended, so he may be back soon. Hopgood probably still isn't someone I think I'd be buying at this stage, but I think you hold until you see the minutes reduce. But even in those 50-55 minutes, we know he can still punch out 60-65. He's just got that work rate. So Hopgood has been great for anyone who's held. I haven't held to this point, and I think now I'm at the stage where I probably just need to avoid for now. Madison was a few people going on Madison. 44 points when he had real no major attacking stats. He wasn't really ball playing at all from 5-8. He was pretty much just running himself every single time, which is fair enough. Like, he had, yeah, 23 points in runs and like 18 points in tackled, including the miss. So pretty much all base. So I think that's good if you're a non-Madison owner. Like, say, for example, me, if I don't go Hopgood, with 101 break even, I don't mind maybe picking up Madison. But it's hard when I think my other three second row forward are good. And I think in second row forward, I think I just need to try and get back to Fifita. That's kind of really where I think I need to be doing my trades at second row forward. Prioritize Fifita. If I can happen to get someone like a Madison on along the way, then sure. But probably not going to be an absolute priority for me. Apart from that, my boy Matt Dury, 11 points. He was my lowest scorer of the week, so he drops out of my 13. So Ruben Garrix, 20, does get included for me. But yeah, Gutherson was the story out of that game. Pretty dominant, pretty bad for Manly, actually. They dropped so many balls, really poor completion percentage. I think they had less than 40% possession, which is not normal for NRL games when, you know, normally, like, the Eels had, I think, 60-plus at halftime, but normally it kind of, you know, reverts back to a bit more par. But yeah, Manly have 38 possession, 66% completion rate, like, just really, really bad. Their forwards are pretty poor as well. Like, they got outrun by like 800 metres as well to the Eels. So yeah, it was a pretty bad game from Manly overall. But happy enough that I VC'd Gutherson, who as of 6:45 on Sunday evening is outscoring Nico Hines. Come lockout, I suspect that Hines will be outscoring him, because Hines will just be getting unicorn points. Brendan Hands, I think, is someone who, you know, if you are looking for that, you know, cheap dummy half, he is maybe someone to consider. I would hope for maybe a bit more update on Josh Hodgson, but Hands has looked pretty good at dummy half. Even early in the season when he was coming off the bench, he has looked quite good. So I think he's someone that you could definitely consider. He got a try assist, line break assist for his 61 points. So call it 40 without attacking stats, which is fine at his price. Pretty much the same as Jake Simkin. Outside of that, probably no other real... I mean, Mike Acevo only did 27 because he didn't score the try, or didn't score a try. Apart from that, probably no other major, I think, targets out of the Eels. Karaz about to be real cheap. Yeah, Karaz will be very, very cheap soon. Ranked 33K with a 1047. I have no idea where you're going to end up in Crystal, because it's very difficult to tell with rankings, but I can say you will probably get a big green arrow, because that's a pretty good score, and given where your current rank is, then yeah. Fourth World, guys, if you are coming into the stream late, please do check the pin message. I've added some sentences about what I think is a pass score and everything. That should hopefully answer your question. Gazraki, hey man, if you already showed it before, where you at rank-wise? At the moment, my rank was 7,500. So I'm hoping I should be getting some good green arrows with 1062, but as I've mentioned repeatedly, I think next week is going to be very, very tough for myself. One game I haven't really spoken too much about is the Tigers Storm, and we'll probably just, I think after that, we don't need to keep the stream going on for too long today, I think, given that we only had a shorter week, and there's so much information to come out this week post-Origin. Fresh cut, need the beard maintenance next. Oof, okay, we'll talk about the Tiger Storm, and then I can give you it's not like something about a drop an album or something. I will let you guys know what my beard maintenance is. I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, of course, the Tigers. We did mention it already, but how good was Alex Twoll scoring his try? I love the way that Vossi called it as well. And the first person I thought of as well was NRL Physio, who tweeted immediately. So yeah, obviously 69 points for him, including the try. Bateman, 80 minutes in the middle, 59 points. I think that's pretty much the floor that you'd expect out of Bateman. He had no major attacking stats. I don't think he was really offloading. It was pretty much, I think, just tackled and runs. Yep, 47 points in tackled, 16 points in runs. Job done, nothing else. So Bateman is someone who I think, if he continues to keep playing middle, I think he'll be a good solid option, but he probably won't be getting those 80 plus scores and those attacking stats, which is kind of a shame. Like Isaiah Papali'i had a really good game on the edge, on the right edge, 83 points that included a line break. So, I mean, up until now, I've preferred Bateman. If Bateman continues to keep just playing middle, but doesn't really get the, if he's not offloading, then, you know, he's not going to be probably getting those 70 plus, 80 plus scores that you would like. IPAP had one good game. I'd probably still want to see it more. I think I'd maybe want to see it again. But either way, Tigers are on the bye this week. So I think you maybe get, maybe in round 19, you can look to pick up one of the two if you haven't got either of them. I guess the story of this game was Will Warbrick's four line break tries. 138 points. I can see AK, Warbrick, Loveheart. Yep, yeah. Warbrick, anyone who's owned Warbrick this week, he's probably the pod that's probably got you a little bit above the rest of us, because there was no other centre wing who went 100-plus outside of the Manus, I'm pretty sure. Jerome Hughes, if anyone went him, he had a good game, was very involved. I think he had four try assists, although you'd be a bit annoyed that only two of them, I think, came with line break assists, because two of them were off kicks. So that kind of reduced his score a little bit. So 86 points from him is solid. I think if you went him this week, you'd be happy with that. He should be a stepping stone for Cleary. I personally was more keen on going SJ, so that's kind of the reason why I didn't go Moses to Hughes this week. I instead just kept that slot open and I could have gone ICAT to Hughes, but I thought I prefer SJ, so I'll go SJ next week instead. Sean Bloor, really, really big game. No tries, but geez, I didn't realize this before. 92 points with no attacking stats, just offloads. I mean, two line breaks in there, but even without those two line breaks, we're talking 72 points. That's interesting. But I think the second or forward spot has been kind of on rotate for the Tigers. I'm not sure how much I would read into that. Meany, a bit of a quiet game. I mean, he missed like every single goal kick. You can see the goals he scored were just offset by ones that he missed. On another day, he gets those and it's kind of a mid-60s score, but a bit quiet from him overall. But look, I think the Storm were just there to just get the job done. They were missing their origin guns and everything. So yeah, pretty comprehensive performance. And yeah, look, Melbourne Storm defense is really good, but the attack for Tigers wasn't great. Apart from that, like I mean, Buller, we've kind of spoken about Buller a little bit already. But yeah, I think out of that, there's probably not much more, I think, to talk about from the Storm side of things. Obviously, if you've held Warbrick, keep him now, continue to make some money. And maybe in round 19, you can upgrade at that point because they don't play round 19. But yeah, I think apart from that, there's really not much more out of this. It's a pretty standard week, I think. Nothing too crazy. I think all the craziness happened beforehand when players were dropping. But the actual games themselves, I think, kind of went the way that most people would have expected. So, I mean, the Cowboys-Panthers game, a lot of I tipped Panthers, for example. But, you know, the Sharks smashing the Bulldogs, a lot of people were expecting that. Storm winning, expected. I think Eels were the favourites as well. And a tie game between Knights and Roosters. All right, I think I might just wrap up the games there. I might just go for another couple of minutes just to see if there's any other questions from you guys. So if you have any other questions for the next 3 to 5 minutes, drop them in the chat now. We'll work through them. Otherwise, give the stream a like as well if you have been enjoying it. While I wait for some questions to come in, you want the beard maintenance. All right, you know what? I'm going to run to the bathroom. I'll show you guys my trimmer because it's a really good one. All right, well, we're back. We're back ready to talk hair maintenance. So this, I've got, again, not sponsored. I might need to start reaching out to all these bloody companies to start sponsoring me, given that we're talking about this more in the channel. This is the Philips Series 5000. Sorry, it's a little bit worn out, but I've been using this for like 2 years and bought it from the shaver shop. I don't think it was that expensive. I think it was like $70. So obviously it's a lot for one shaver, but it's lasted me like ages and it's good. It's a good trimmer. Shaver Shop Philips Series 5000. Okay, it's 98. It's on special at the moment, $98, I think. Okay, I think I bought it for a little bit cheaper than what it's currently being sold for. But anyway, Philips Series 5000 is really good. It's adjustable, so you can adjust all the lengths. It goes from 7 mils to like 0.4. So it's really good, just for like, I do it probably once a week on a Sunday, I trim it, and does the job. It's got good battery life. You just have to plug it in every now and then. Oh yeah, the one other tip that I would, if you have any shavers, I don't have it with me, but it's in the bathroom somewhere, but I've got a little, it's a can that you it's a spray. You spray it onto your blades and then you run your blades for like another 10 seconds and it keeps them sharp. So you keep them in good nick for longer. I think, again, you can buy that from Shaver Shop. I'm plugging Shaver Shop now as well. I can't believe it. But anyway, if you want to know my millimeters, 2.5 millimeters is what I use for my face. Sebastian, I'm not going to answer that question. I've never tried it because don't use the same thing for your face in that region that you're talking about. That's gross. No, definitely use two different ones if you want some health hygiene advice from me. Do you line your beard up, Maman? Yeah, look, I do it myself. I don't have the barber do my beard. I do it myself. Manscaped will surely sponsor you. They have reached out to me before, but they actually sent me some stuff. But I never did it. I could never get myself to go the whole Manscaped plug. Maybe in the future, but they actually sent me some stuff. So thank you, Manscaped. They actually did send me some very comfortable. In their pack, the jocks were actually really comfortable. I will say that they're very comfortable jocks, but I haven't used the shavers or anything like that, or all those other random things that they send you, but they have reached out to me. More questions coming in about shaving and beard maintenance and Supercoach. Love it. I also do have like a manual shaver, which I use for like my neck and my cheek, like a Gillette, like Fourth World says he's a Gillette man. Yeah. I use the Gillette razor for my neck, and then for the beard trimming, I use this thing. Oh my, people who are listening to this on the podcast later will have no idea what we're talking about. Who would I get in this week? My options so far are Haas, Grant, or Munster. Again, kind of position dependent. If you don't need to go for front row four, then I'll probably go one of the other two. Manly will have their origin players back, so kind of also depends on the break evens of these guys. So let's see, Munster, I'm assuming Munster's going to have a relatively good break even, given that he went 100 plus last week. Munster has a 52 break even, 666k. This is the cheapest Munster has been all season, and this could be the cheapest that you get him. So look, Manly and Panthers are not the two easiest matchups before the round 19 bye, but Munster is a guy who we know can score big against tough opposition. Like, he scored 71 against the against the Rabbitohs, 87 against the Broncos, 74 against the Rabbitohs earlier in the season, 114 against the Roosters. Like, to be honest, Munster is pretty matchup proof. So I like Munster as a good trade in this week. I think based on that low break even of 52, this could be the cheapest that you can get him for the rest of the season. And he's kind of that player who I do suspect to back up most weeks. And after round 20, the Storm don't have any more buys, so he's got a pretty clear run as well for the rest of the season. If I had to compare him to Grant, Grant's got a 39 break even, and again, he's 599k, so he is probably the cheapest that he would be all season as well. If I had to get one of the two, though, I think I'd probably still prefer Munster, because even if Grant goes up in price, if you had to get him back at 650k, it's still affordable. If Munster starts getting back up to like that 700, 730k, I'd probably want him, and I'd probably go him over Haas just because I think he's just that that guy who I think has just got a bigger ceiling than Haas. So I think out of those three, I'd probably go Munster. Aman's got Supercoach Riz. Love it. 42 and still can't grow a beard. Look, I'm blessed with, I'm lucky that I've got good hair growing genetics. So condolences to those who can't, but I'm glad that I can. I definitely look better with a beard than without, that's for sure. At least in my opinion, I think, anyway. Okay, we've gone 5 minutes and I've answered one Supercoach question. We'll do one more and I think we'll wrap up the stream before things get a little bit crazy on the beard and hair maintenance side of things. Campbell Graham, question mark from My Car. Yeah, look, Campbell Graham has been just so good all season. I think a lot of us haven't owned him. He is expensive at 690K, but it's not a bad price, to be honest. Only issue with him is that he misses round 20, which is, again, I think that's going to be a really crucial week just post-Origin. And he also misses round 26. So he does have a couple of buys coming up, but look, Cowboys, Warriors, Bulldogs, like Bulldogs in round 19, he could be a really great option for round 19 coverage. And the only thing with him is Origin. Like, will he get set of Origin? Just not sure, because like this time around it was because of Latrell being a late out, so Crichton came back in. Maybe they give Campbell Graham game three. That's, and you'd be missing Bulldogs. That's probably the only risk with him. Otherwise, outside of that, I think he's a great picker, but he's probably still someone I think you can maybe just afford to avoid. Maybe you get him in round 21, for example, because there's maybe that doubt about him in game three is the only thing, I think. Schuster to Munster. Look, if you can do Schuster to Munster next week, I think that's a great trade option. I really do like Munster next week. Even though he still has Origin, he's just the guy that I think you want for the run home, especially now that dual bags. I think 5'8", like, he's the number one averaging guy. And I think Stormer improving as well. So yeah, for me, Munster looks like a guy I think you want to be targeting. And he's someone who, I think, similar to Payne, Haas and Tino, guys that you can get, I think, before Origin finishes. It's all the special maintenance. It's all genetics. When I first started growing a beard, believe me, it looked awful. It was all patchy, but you just have to give it time. Patience is the key. Hamish says Moses and Buller to SJ and Turbo round 17. Look, if you've held Moses, I would keep Moses in round 17, especially if he backs up. It's the Dolphins game. They are leaking a lot of points recently. I would be keeping Moses for round 17. I wouldn't be trading Moses out if you've held for round 17. Is it time to sell Buller? Fourth world? Maybe go if you... I spoke a lot about Buller at the beginning of the stream, so maybe after the stream ends, or if you can now, just go towards the beginning of the stream. I speak a little bit more detail about Buller, so I'll probably just skip that question for now, but we've kind of covered that earlier. All right, we'll do this one more last question. I think we'll wrap it up there. From My Car, Ponga to fullback via duels and bring in Munster. This is probably, look, if I was to sell Buller this week, coming in round 17, it'd be doing that exactly. I would probably go Buller to Munster, I think, via the duels. And put Ponga down to fullback. Probably what I'd be doing. Who am I run home fullbacks? I think Turbo will be one. Latrell is probably the obvious one, but I think the only thing with Latrell is, again, he has those couple of buys, and look, he's got this calf thing, so I think in an ideal world, it would be Latrell and Turbo. In a realistic world, I think it probably would be maybe Turbo and one of Ponga. Gutherson has done nothing wrong as well. Like, Gutherson could still just be another run home fullback. I think Turbo is probably the only one who I view as maybe one that I think you definitely want to run home with. Let's see. Oh, Benny G, hello. 1162, great week for you. And Munster coming in ASAP. Yeah, look, I really do like Munster as a trade in this week. Round 17. Obviously, let's see what happens with Origin. Fingers crossed, New South Wales win. But yeah, look, I like Munster. Assuming he backs up, I think he's someone that we will want to get very soon. 666k for him is a great price tag as well. All right, guys, I think we'll wrap up the stream there. We should be back on Tuesday for another TLT preview stream, but obviously I'll caveat that this week is going to be a little bit different, obviously, with Origin. So probably what I will do is a Thursday or Friday Q&A stream, similar to what I've done kind of over the last few weeks every now and then, because I think it will be good just to go through again post-Origin ramifications and whatnot. And I think the first game next week is on a Friday, 8 o'clock. So we'll probably do a Friday Q&A stream, or maybe Thursday, but we should be back on Tuesday for a normal stream. Thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. Hope you all enjoyed that. I believe the Insight Fantasy Sports guys are doing their wrap-up stream now as well, so definitely hop over to their channel and say Aman. And if you jumped from my stream, say Aman sent us. Give him a shout-out. I'll probably be tuning in as well with my dinner. But thanks, everyone, for joining me on this Sunday evening. Hope you all had a great weekend, and catch you in the next one. See ya.